5, verses 6 and 7. Seek God while he is here, to be found. Pray to him while he is close at hand. Let the wicked abandon their way of life, and the evil their way of thinking. Let them come back to God who is merciful. Come back to our God who is lavish with forgiveness. Second Bible reading, Psalm 103, verses 1 through 8. Oh, bless me. Oh, my soul, bless God. From head to toe, all bless his holy name. Oh, my soul, bless God. Don't forget a single blessing. He forgives your sin, everyone. He heals your diseases, everyone. He redeems you from hell, saves your life. He grants you with love and mercy and a paradise crown. He wraps you with goodness, beauty eternal. He renews your youth. You're always young in his presence. God makes everything come out right. He puts victims back on our feet. He showed Moses how he went about his work, opened his hands to go all of his love. God is not sheer mercy and grace, not easily angered, he's rich in love.
Our third reading is from the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. At one time, you were like a dead person because of the things you did wrong and your offenses against God. You used to live like people of this world. You followed the rule of a destructive spiritual power. This is the spirit of disobedience to God's will that is now at work in persons whose lives are characterized by disobedience. At one time, you were like those persons. All of you used to do whatever felt good and whatever you thought you wanted, so that you were children headed for punishment just like everyone else. However, God is rich in mercy. He brought us to life with Christ while we were dead as a result of those things that we did wrong. He did this because of the great love that he has for us. You are saved by God's grace, and God raised us up and seated us in the heavens with Christ Jesus. God did this to show future generations the greatness of his grace by the goodness that God has shown us in Christ Jesus. You are saved by God's grace because of your faith. This salvation is God's gift. It's not something you possessed. It's not something you did that you can be proud of. Instead, we are God's accomplishment, created in Christ Jesus to do good things. God planned for these good things to be the way that we live our lives. I think I was about in eighth grade when I discovered something fantastic. Monty Python. It just resonated with my sense of humor from the moment I saw it. This week I watched one of the famous sketches they did after reading this passage from Ephesians, because I think it adequately illustrates what Paul is saying here about the state that people are in because of sin. It's the dead parrot sketch. A man bought a parrot from a store, comes back to complain because the parrot's dead, and about 5 minutes ensues of him showing that the parrot's dead in various more aggressive ways, and the worker trying to show that, no, the parent's actually still alive, that he doesn't get a refund. At various points, the parrot's, hit on the table, and it's a great sketch. Look it up on YouTube when you get home. That's your homework after this worship service. Last week, we talked about when sin entered creation, when humans chose to go their own way rather than follow God's way, that death entered creation. And that's Paul's starting point in this Ephesians text. We start out dead. That's not a euphemism. That's not, a metaphor. There's a real physical deadness to all of us. That's our starting point in this passage. It's pretty bleak. It's not very uplifting. But it's the starting point. So this week our topic is these ideas of forgiveness and grace. Grace is something you hear talked about a lot in the church, and it's something that is terribly difficult to define. I have a book on my shelf that's a dictionary of theological terms, and the entry for grace, I think, is 8 pages. Give academics enough time, and they'll really complicate things. We've always struggled to define these things, especially this concept of God's grace. It shows up here. Paul talks about this grace, this gift that's been received. He doesn't really explain very well. What does grace mean? It's tied to forgiveness. Other parts of the Bible, forgiveness is mixed in there. But it's a vital part of our Christian faith. This is where I think the Christian faith gets distinguished between itself and all other religious systems. I've studied world religions, and I haven't seen a concept of grace in other religions like I see in the Christian faith. It makes us unique. It's one of the reasons I'm a Christian and not something else. But what is it? So we're sinners and we're dead. That was the cost of us going our own way and not following God's way. But God didn't leave us there. Now the problem was, is we couldn't get back to where we were on our own. I hate to break this to you, but you don't have the capacity within yourself to right the wrong that sin caused. We can never do enough. We can never rebuild things enough on our own. We'll never get there. And I think it's pretty futile to try. So I like to talk about grace in terms of God's love for us is so deep. God's love for us is so extravagant that even though we turned our back on God and said, look, we're going to go it our own way. We want to do it our way. We want to figure it out on our own. God didn't turn God's back on us. Grace is a gift that was given by God out of God's extravagant love to restore us back to relationship with God. So sin broke the relationship. Grace heals the relationship. We did the first part, only God can do the second part. Does that definition of grace make sense? It's a gift. Paul talks about it being a gift. It's a gift freely given out of God's love. It's a gift we cannot earn. But boy, do we like to try. What are some ways you try to earn God's grace? Don't do it. How do we get in our own way? How do we think, you know what, I can do it on my own. I can be good enough. Has anyone ever had that thought or acted in a way that's like, you know what, if I just volunteer a little more, if I just do a few more good deeds, I just fill in the blank. We never do enough. But we still try and do it our own way. Sin gets in the way of God's grace because we convince ourselves that we can still do it on our own. We can still get there. We don't really need God's help. We'll take care of it. We'll get there eventually on our own. That's why we build religious systems. That's why we build religious systems that are like to-do lists. If you just do the following things, you'll be fine. Anyone here grow up Catholic? Well, some people have, but if you go to confession, you confess your sins, they say, okay, do the following things, and you're absolved of your sins.
Absolved in your sin?
I don't know, I didn't look at that. It's always kind of looked weird to me. If God's grace was given to us, doesn't that absolve us of our sin? We find ways to try to do it ourselves. If there's one thing I want us to reclaim and to really understand, because I think it's transformative and I think it's life-giving in a way that nothing else is that God's grace is a free gift poured out in extravagant abundance to each of you. And there's nothing you can do, there's nothing you can do that's bad enough that stops God from pouring out. That's amazing. That's an amazing gift. That should be a life-altering gift that we receive and just relish in God's love for us. So what stops us? What gets in the way? What do we say to ourselves? Not good enough for that. I'm not lovable. All these things that we say internally to convince ourselves that we're not worthy of God's grace. And yet, there it is. Grace involves forgiveness of sins. Grace involves an outpouring of love. Grace involves an outpouring of the Spirit. Grace involves transformation of our lives. Paul talks about it here. He talks about the old life that people lived, the dead life that is like the world, and the new life because of this gift of grace that they have been given. God's grace is transformative. Anyone experience that? Can you think of times you've experienced transformation in your life? Times where you recognize God's love for you? If you haven't, this is one of those things that when we talk about the basics of the Christian faith, I think everything else hinges on this. Everything else hinges on us understanding that this gift of grace is given to us and there for us. That we can't earn it, that we don't have to earn it, that God freely pours it out. What makes Christianity unique among other religions. The weight is not all on your shoulders to figure it out, to do enough right stuff to offset the bad stuff. In Christianity, it's flipped. We do the good things because we've already received God's grace. We've already received this gift. We've been forgiven. We've been made new. We've been washed clean. And in response to that love, we want others to experience it also. We act because we've already been given the gift. We don't act to earn the gift. I think for far too many of us, we're still trying to earn it. We're still trying to be good enough. We're still trying to do enough. We're still trying to earn our place back with God. A lot of you may know, but I grew up in an alcoholic home. My dad was an alcoholic. Died at the age of 41. I find it weird sometimes that I'm older than he was when he died. am a classic adult child of an alcoholic. I remember the first time I was given that book. And I read it, and it's like, this was written about me. That's how easy it is to describe adult children of alcoholics. And one of the things that it explained to me, which was very helpful, was we're our own worst critics. It doesn't matter what you say to me, I can say way worse stuff internally than you could ever think of. But one thing I began to understand in my early 20s as I started to deal with the effects of growing up like that was how much that got in the way of my relationship with God. Because my internal dialogue was, surely God doesn't love me like other people. He got in the way. And the gift of actually receiving that grace changed my life. It set me on the path that brought me to it. But it was transformative to me. When we talk about other things like mission and the church and things in the last few weeks of this series, the thing the church is supposed to do is share God's gift of grace. Experience it, relish in the wonder and majesty of it, and then want others to experience it also. That's what it means to go out into the world to share God's love. It's to tell people that it's okay, you're not good enough. You're never going to be good enough. God loves you infinitely. That God has called you back. And the gift has already been given. There hasn't been a lot of questions asked in this one because I really want you to grasp this concept because it is so foundational to everything else in the Christian faith. When we lose this concept of grace, we just become another social organization trying to do good works in the world, and we miss out on the whole reason we're here. We miss out on that gift of grace, the gift of forgiveness. And when we receive and accept that forgiveness, we're called to forgive others. If we can really live into this, it can transform the world. This is about as countercultural of a concept as you can get. Do you see much grace and forgiveness in our world? No. The opposite of that. Man, people are just ready for you to make a little mistake and pounce. And point it out over and over again and never let you live it down. I feel so bad for people who can't make mistakes in life and start over. In our world, they follow you wherever you go. The church should be a place where people can be transformed and made new and receive God's grace, and we welcome them with open arms, regardless of their past. The church should be beacon of grace and forgiveness because we have experienced it. If you struggle with this, if you still struggle with it, I struggled with it for many years. Some days I still struggle with it, depending on what's going on. You're not alone. But if you can hold on to the fact that God's love and grace are always there, it will change you. That's the kind of people we're called to be. That's what restored us back into relationship with God. And that's how we trust that other relationships can be healed, other lives can be healed, and people can be redeemed. God's grace makes everything else possible. It's that important.
Thank you for listening to this week's sermon from Community Presbyterian Church in Grand Rapids, Minnesota.